You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
To the Blitz, everybody. This is Kyle Hunt coming to you May 29th, 2019. 2019 is almost half over. It is crazy. This year has flown by. Please, go on over to RenegadeTribune.com and check out all the great articles over there. Head on over to HeathenHerbs.com and purchase some good products for yourself and for your loved ones as well. Tonight, I am talking about a very important topic that really is essential to understand for us when dealing with the youth of today, and actually the adults as well. Now, the youth in the school system, they are presented with so many different problems. The multiracial schooling system, Common Core, the anti-white education. And they're being fed absolute garbage. They are fed worse than prison food, sometimes it seems. And the young people are the ones who should be getting the best food. We need to be raising the future generations right. Now, with the youngsters, many of them, a huge percentage, are put onto different kinds of medications. The children in the schools are so heavily medicated, and I'm going to just be dealing with one particular kind of medication here tonight, and that would be stimulants for ADHD, in particular Ritalin and Adderall. It's huge. It's huge, and it's really affecting these young people as they grow up. And it's just insane that we're okay as a society with the youth being drugged with stimulants to make them better. This is the kind of society we have here in America, though. Just think about Captain America himself. What's the story of Captain America? It's that he was this weak, puny little cadet, or whatever. I've never really paid much attention. And then he was given some kind of super serum, and he becomes almost invincible, super strong, big, and jacked. Just take a drug, take your pills, and you'll be A-okay. Now, one of the reasons I'm doing this show here tonight is because Shanae and I were checking out what's on the Netflix. I said, hey, Shanae, do you want a Netflix and chill? And she said, yeah, let's see what they got. A bunch of crap. And I said, hey, take your pills. Maybe we could watch that crap. And we did. It was a documentary called Take Your Pills, and it was about all these pep pills that are now given out legally as medication to all these youngsters and adults as well. And so we were watching this, and I was wondering, are they just doing an advertisement for stimulants? Because for the most part, it's just showing how beneficial it's been to some of these people. It really looked like an ad for Adderall. That's the way it seemed. The title is Take Your Pills, and although you could read into that as kind of just this authoritarian need, take your pills, you know, that's what's being pushed on us. At a certain level, I feel like, honestly, what it's trying to hammer into people's heads is that they should be taking pills. They make it look like these pills will just increase your abilities in life. And I'm not saying that they don't. Stimulants are a hell of a drug. They go through some of the history of stimulant use, how they were marketed as pep pills, how they were given to British pilots. They didn't really talk much about the German soldiers. I did see a quick flash of Hitler going by and everything. But the Germans did use stimulants as well, where some of these guys had to stay up night after night, and it meant their lives. And I can understand why they'd be used in certain situations. I'm not 100% against the use of medications or drugs or stimulants or whatever. But when you're prescribing them in such high numbers to these youngsters, and when they're being used as basically cheat pills for people to be able to study much longer hours and for athletes to perform better as long as they have that doctor's exemption, well, I think there's a real problem. So let's get into some of the statistics here about the prescription of stimulants. And I'd also like to invite people to call into the show tonight if they have any experience with this. Because I never took these as a prescription. I knew people who did when I was growing up. But I never took them except when I was in college. But I didn't take them to study. I took them recreationally, let's just say. I took them illegally. You know, while going out and drinking and everything. It enhances your ability to stay up late and drink. It's kind of like cocaine, to be honest. It's a hell of a drug. It really is. I was taking Adderall, you know, because one of my friends prescribed it. But I don't have much experience just with the daily dosage of stimulants right to your brain. You know, the slow release and the quick release ones. I don't know much about, but I know a lot of people out there probably have some experience. If you want to call in and comment on this subject, please do. 747-999-6407. So let's get to some of these statistics here. 4.4% of the adult U.S. population supposedly has ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder. I think it's bogus. I think it's completely made up. I think that some people, children in particular, are more amped up than others, but I'm not going to call it a disease. I think the DSM is a big crock of crap. It's just a way to prescribe things. Now, of course, you can classify different mental disorders, but to throw this label on such a huge percent of the population, say you're flawed and the only way to fix it is with drugs, is absolute insanity. But supposedly, less than 20% of these individuals, the 4.4% of the adult U.S. population, only 20% seek help for it. 41.3% of adult ADHD cases are considered severe. That's almost half. That's a good chunk. A good chunk of all of these cases are considered severe. During their lifetimes, 12.9% of men will be diagnosed with ADHD compared to 4.9% of women. So boys, in general, do seem like they could have more energy than little girls. Is this a conspiracy against these boys and young men? To suppress them in some way? To addle their growth, perhaps? Because they are a serious threat. Especially, it's white children, oftentimes, too, that are prescribed these drugs. Sure, black boys get prescribed them as well. But white children are severely drugged up these days. And vaccinated and all the other crap. It's just interesting when you wonder, okay, why is this so prevalent amongst the boys rather than the girls? Is this just a natural expression of their energy? Hey, are we really supposed to be sitting in rows and columns pushing paper under fluorescent lights for so many hours out of the day, having to sit entirely still, unable to even converse with those around us? Is that natural? No, I don't think so. So are we abnormal? Are we ill for not being able to fit into that? No, I'd say not. All right, let's get into some more statistics here. This is from Attitude magazine. Attitude, you know, attitude. All right, children with ADHD. On average, every classroom of 30 students has 1 to 3 children with ADHD. 3 boys are diagnosed with ADD for every 1 girl. The average age of onset is 5 for severe ADHD, 7 for moderate symptoms, and 8 for mild symptoms. About half of kids with ADHD are noted to have severe impairment. So, half the cases are severe? That just seems ridiculous to me. And, listen, there might be I'm sure there are a lot of young children that are really hard to handle these days. But is it because they just have something called ADHD? Or perhaps does it have to do with damage coming from vaccines or the food or even the air they breathe? Or the unnatural setting of the schoolroom and all the culture that they get with all the quick flashing graphics and their cartoons and all that other crap that's on TV? 6.1% of U.S. children ages 4 to 17 took stimulant medication for ADHD in 2011, up 28% from 4.8% in 2007. Oh, it's gotten way more than that now. These are old statistics. But even back then, way back in 2011, 6.1% of children taking stimulants. Wow, that's a huge number. 40% of youth will be diagnosable. 40% of youth with diagnosable, but not necessarily diagnosed ADHD symptoms don't get treatment. Oh, poor guys, they're not getting the medication. The rate of emotional development for children with ADHD is as much as 30% slower than it is for the children without the condition. For example, a 10-year-old with ADHD operates at the maturity level of about a 7-year-old. A 16-year-old beginning driving is using the decision-making skills of an 11- or 12-year-old. 75% of boys with ADHD are hyperactive. 60% of girls with ADHD are hyperactive. 40% of children who have ADHD have at least one parent who has ADHD. Parents of a child with ADHD are 3 times more likely to separate or divorce than are parents of children without ADHD. That's a lot. So if you have an ADHD child, you're 3 times more likely to separate or divorce than otherwise. All right, let's get to the teens. 3 to 5%, or about 2 million American teens, suffer from ADHD. 7% of parents will have a teen with ADHD. About 80% of children who need medication for ADHD still need it as teenagers. Doesn't solve the problem, you just gotta take more of it. Teenagers with ADHD have 2 to 4 times as many traffic citations as their peers without ADHD. Teens with ADHD have 4 times as many car wrecks and are 7 times more likely to have a second accident. Teenage drivers with ADHD sustain 3 times as many car crash injuries as do teens without ADHD. Teenage drivers with ADHD are found to be at fault for car crashes 4 times more than are their peers without ADHD. I mean, are they checking their phones all the time? That could be part of it. Teenage drivers with ADHD are 6 to 8 times more likely to have their license suspended or revoked for poor driving behavior. I mean, this does seem like a severe impairment. But are drugs a solution? Are these children on drugs when they're driving? 21% of teens with ADHD skip school repeatedly. 35% of teens with ADHD eventually drop out of school. 45% of teens with ADHD have been suspended. 30% of teens with ADHD have failed or had to repeat a year of school. Almost a third of them. Of special needs students who report bullying, the majority of those who are victimized are students diagnosed with mild autism spectrum disorder and students with ADHD. Kids with ADHD are more likely to bully other kids. Let's talk about the adults now. 4.4% of the adult U.S. population has ADHD, but less than 20% seek help for it. We already mentioned that stat. 41.3% of adult ADHD cases are considered severe. Yep. During their lifetimes, 12.9% of men will be diagnosed with ADHD compared to 4.9% of women. That's just insane. I know we went over this before. 13% of men will be diagnosed with ADHD. That's insane. That's a lot of men in the U.S. About 30 to 60% of patients diagnosed with ADHD in childhood continue to be affected into adulthood. Adults with ADHD are 5 times more likely to speed. Well, they're on speed, too. I wonder if there's a connection. Adults with ADHD are nearly 50% more likely to be in a serious car crash. Let's watch it Fast and Furious. Gotta try it out. Having ADHD makes you 3 times more likely to be dead by the age of 45. Wow. Anxiety disorders occur in 50% of adults with ADHD. Conditions related to ADHD. 65% of children with ADHD have problems with defiance, noncompliance, and other problems with authority figures, including verbal hostility and angry outbursts. I don't know if that's always a problem. Some of these authority figures are not good people. All right, so we're just going to move on here. That one was pretty lengthy if we kept going. What's fascinating is how the U.S. is number one. We're number one in so many things. We used to be number one in obesity, but Mexico, after NAFTA, surpassed us. You know, you got all the GMO stuff down there, eating all that GMO corn, getting a lot of cheap, crappy products. They're number one in obesity. We're number one in the developed world for infant mortality from births at the hospital. And also number one in maternal mortality from births at the hospital. We're number one in a lot of things, weapons spending and all that. We're also the number one for ADHD diagnosis. The U.S. has the highest rate at 11% of our freaking population diagnosed. 1 out of 10 people diagnosed with ADHD compared to a rate of around 5% in countries like Brazil, China, and Europe. Europe isn't a country, but that's what the stats said. And it's that 5% is still pretty high. I've seen a lot of countries that have very, very low percentages of ADHD. But here's the thing. It's a disorder that's based on a checklist of behaviors. It's not a disease. There's no ADHD test that is able to prove conclusively that any child or adult has ADHD. But all these millions and millions of children are being put on Ritalin, Adderall, Concerta, and these drugs are all in the same kind of highly addictive classification of drugs like cocaine, morphine, opium. And of course, and the boys way more than the girls. So the checklist could fit pretty much normal children anywhere. It's not a test. It's a stupid checklist. And the behaviors that are part of this checklist are just ridiculous. Such as runs about or climbs excessively in situations when it is not appropriate. Is often on the go. Acts as if driven by a motor. Blurts out answers. Is easily distracted. Loses pencils or toys. Often doesn't seem to listen. How many people out there who have never been diagnosed with ADHD could say that when you were growing up, you could check off some of those boxes? I know so many children who, normal children, perfectly fine, healthy children, who run about and climb when it's not appropriate. They're often on the go, driven by a motor. Yeah, they got a lot of energy. They blurt out the answers. Yeah, they don't have the same kind of filter as older adults. Easily distracted. I see a lot of adults easily distracted. Losing pencils or toys. Of course. That's what children do. That's what adults do. They don't seem to listen. Well, when you're not being very interesting, it's kind of hard to listen. So having these things checked off on the list, it's all it that needs to happen for a child to have a mental disorder of ADHD and get put on these stimulants. Yeah, there are other checklists that will get you put on some psychotropics. So because it's part of the APA's DSM, psychiatrists can just write the script, and I think it's then the doctor can even prescribe it once they've had the go-ahead. But again, no blood tests, no brain scans, no chemical imbalance tests, x-rays, no look at any genetic factors. It's just a freaking checklist of simple childlike behaviors. It's crazy. It's a child labeling and drugging industry, and it results in an insane profit. It's a multi-billion-dollar empire. It really is. Let's read an article here. ADHD or immaturity? This is from Child Mind Institute. I gotta close some kind of pop-up here. No, I don't want it en español. Several studies in recent years have found that children who are among the youngest in their class are diagnosed with ADHD at a much higher rate than their older classmates. This suggests that a significant percentage of kids with ADHD are being misdiagnosed just because they're less mature. It raises important questions about how kids are being diagnosed and how to avoid misinterpreting the behavior of children who might be having trouble meeting expectations just because they are younger. The findings in these studies of large populations of kids, most of these were children, in Michigan, British Columbia, and most recently Taiwan, are consistent. The youngest children are significantly more likely to be diagnosed than the oldest in the same class, boys as much as 60% and girls as much as 70%. The Taiwan study even showed the prevalence of kids diagnosed with ADHD decreased month by month from the youngest to the oldest in the class. Wow. What can we do to address this problem while still making sure kids get the help they need? How can we make sure we address this while ensuring that some children still get diagnosed with symptoms, with stimulants for their symptoms? How to avoid misdiagnosis? Most ADHD diagnoses are the result of children struggling to meet expectations for behavior and performance in school. All young children find it challenging to sit still, pay attention, wait their turn, finish tasks, and keep from interrupting. By school age, most have developed skills to manage these things as expected. Those who don't are often flagged by teachers who have a lot of experience with typical behavior and child development. But the age range of students in a given classroom can span a whole year, which means that the developmental differences between the youngest and the oldest can be substantial. That's why it's important that if children are being evaluated for ADHD, their behavior should be compared with that of other children their age, not all the other children in their class. If a child is behaving poorly, if he's inattentive, if he can't sit still, it may simply be because he's 5 and the other kids are 6, explained Todd Elder, lead author of the Michigan study. There's a big difference between a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old, and teachers and medical practitioners need to take that into account when evaluating whether children have ADHD. Here are other best practices that should be followed to avoid misdiagnosis. A variety of sources. A child shouldn't get a diagnosis of ADHD based on a teacher's observations alone. Say, advise a clinician, evaluation, other information from adults. Don't just look at it at school, rating scales, look at a thorough history. Try to understand the level of impairment, wait and see, treatment recommendations, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I think you got the idea, so we'll move on. Let's talk about toddlers on ADHD medications. Toddlers on speed. Seriously, this is... Our country is so freaking insane. There are children who don't even remember the time before they were on stimulants. They've been drugged their entire lives. This article is from the New York Times, so take everything in it with a grain of salt. Thousands of toddlers are medicated for ADHD, reports find, raising worries. By Alan Schwartz, our greatest ally. More than 10,000 American toddlers, 2 or 3 years old, are being medicated for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder outside established pediatric guidelines, according to data presented on Friday by an official at the CDC and Prevention. So they call it the CDC, but it should really be the CDCP, I guess. Interesting. More than 10,000 toddlers, 2 or 3 years old, are being medicated outside of the established guidelines. How many in total? I wasn't able to find the answer, but lots of toddlers, little tiny toddlers, are being medicated for ADHD. The report, which found that toddlers covered by Medicaid are particularly prone to being put on medications such as Ritalin and Adderall. Man, it's among the first efforts to gauge the diagnosis of ADHD in children below the age of 4. Doctors at the Georgia Mental Health Forum at the Carter Center in Atlanta, where the data was presented, as well as several outside experts, strongly criticized the use of medication in so many children that young. The American Academy of Pediatrics standard practice guidelines for ADHD do not even address the diagnosis in children 3 and younger, let alone the use of such stimulant medications, because their safety and effectiveness have barely been explored in that age group. What kind of psychopath would give stimulants to a toddler? I guess if that psychopath is in a white coat, then it's absolutely fine. It's absolutely shocking, and it shouldn't be happening, said Anita Zervigon-Hakes, a children's mental health consultant to the Carter Center. People are just feeling around in the dark. We obviously don't have our act together for the little children. Dr. Lawrence H. Diller, a behavioral pediatrician in Walnut Creek, California, said in a telephone interview, people prescribing to two-year-olds are just winging it. It is outside the standard of care, and they should be subject to malpractice if something goes wrong with a kid. Friday's report was the latest to raise concerns about ADHD diagnoses and medications for American children beyond what many experts consider medically justified. Last year, a nationwide CDC survey found that 11% of children ages 4 to 17 have received a diagnosis of the disorder, and that about 1 in 5 boys have been diagnosed. All right, stay tuned. More to come.
First professing Jew to be elected to the United States Senate, Judah. See how efficiently he ran his sugarcane plantation with 140 slaves, Judah. Imagine his courage as he resigned from the United States Senate to serve as Secretary General, Secretary of War, and later as Secretary of State for the Confederacy. His image is on Confederate money, Judah. Watch as Jews help in his spectacular escape after the war ended, and enjoy how the Rothschild dynasty rewarded the first Jew in the U.S. Senate for protecting their financial investment in the African slave industry and effort to destroy the United States. Judah. Coming this fall.
I guess that's the only song that's playing for me here tonight. All right, we'll finish up here with this New York Times article and then move on. All right, a vast majority of the children are put on medications such as methylphenidate, commonly known as Ritalin, or amphetamines, like Adderall, which often calm a child's hyperactivity and impulsivity, but also carry risks for growth suppression, insomnia, and hallucinations. Nice. Only Adderall is approved by the FDA for children below age 6. Thanks, FDA. However, because off-label use of methylphenidate in preschool children had produced some encouraging results, the most recent American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines authorized it in 4- and 5-year-olds, but only after formal training for parents and teachers to improve the child's environment were unsuccessful. Alright, so I think you get the idea with this one as well. It goes on for a while longer. You want to look into it, do some searching, do some digging. I'm really only scratching the surface here with this all. Let's go to a 2014 article from NBC News. Number of young adults on ADHD drugs soar. So now we're talking about young adults. We're talking about really young children before. We already have some data on the school children. Let's talk about young adults. The number of young adults taking drugs for ADHD has soared in 5 years, particularly among young women, whose use of the drugs is up 85%, according to a new report. And I think a lot of this has to do with how... Think about this. Meth is so demonized. Faces of meth, and you know, you think of all the TV shows and all the rest. I mean, maybe they glorify it a little bit, but most people find meth really gross. But if you're prescribed something, if you're prescribed meth, essentially, by a guy in a white coat, that's A-okay. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not doing anything illegal. You're being smart and responsible. Take your pills. You know, mothers be yelling at their children, you gotta take your pills. Doctor's orders. So, it's not like all these people want to be popping pills. They're being shoved down their throats, essentially. So the report from prescription provider Express Scripts finds a large overall increase in the number of Americans treated for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, a 36% rise in just 5 years. More than 4.8 million people covered by private health insurance have filled at least one prescription for ADHD, the report finds. The rapid increase in adult use of these medications is striking, especially since there's very little research on how these treatments affect an older population, said Express Scripts Dr. David Muzina. It signals a need to look more closely at how and why physicians prescribe these medications for adults, particularly women who may turn to these medications or experience symptoms of attention disorders as a result of keeping up with the multiple demands on their time. It's interesting how it shifts. So in the children, it's the boys who are prescribed all of these drugs, three times as much or whatever. But then when you start reaching young adulthood, it's the women who are being prescribed these drugs more and more. The findings don't surprise Stephen Hinshaw, a professor of psychology at the University of California, Berkeley, who has studied ADHD in girls and young women. These are women who need help, Hinshaw told NBC News. And our drugs can provide them that help. It may partly reflect the rise in diagnoses among children. ADHD drugs are mostly prescribed to children, and their use was up nearly 19%. But adult use rose even faster, up more than 53%, the report said. According to the American Psychiatric Association, 5% of U.S. children have ADHD, but the CDC points to studies showing that 11% and more of kids have been diagnosed with ADHD, up from 7.8% in 2003. Other reports show diagnoses have jumped 24% in a decade, more and more likely to be diagnosed, 13% compared to 5% of girls. And as kids get diagnosed, so do their parents, many of whom didn't recognize the symptoms until they spoke with a specialist about their children. He's got ADHD. You know what? I've had ADHD my whole life, and I haven't had these great pills to help me out. Give me some pep pills. Since females tend to present the inattentive form of ADHD and do not display disruptive behavior in school, their symptoms may be overlooked in childhood. As they age, they may become more aware of their symptoms and consult their physician, the Express Scripts report notes. Maybe they also want to make some money from selling all these pills. It's a huge business in college. Oh yeah, a lot of young drug dealers. And in schools as well. I remember in middle school, people doing, I think it was Adderall, maybe Ritalin, in the bathrooms. They had them in their Altoid cans. Not me. I was a good little boy. Just under a third of people who had ADHD as children never grew out of it, William Barbaresi and colleagues at Boston Children's Hospital found last year. The Express Scripts study only covers people with private insurance, but that's more than half the U.S. population. Their team looked at pharmacy claims of 400,000 people. Among adults, women far outnumber men in their use of ADHD treatments, the reverse of childhood trends, where only half as many girls as boys take ADHD medications. That's very interesting. The number of males using ADHD drugs plummets after age 18, while women ages 19 to 25 surpass younger girls' use of these medications. All right, so we'll leave that article there and look to college students. CenterForResearch.org. Study drug abuse by college students. What you need to know. So, we're going to hear a lot of different statistics tonight because it's covering, I mean, we're talking about articles from so many different years, and it's always changing how many people are prescribed these drugs. So anyway, approximately 2.5 million Americans are prescribed prescription stimulants such as Adderall or Ritalin to treat ADHD disorder. It's a brain disorder that makes it difficult to concentrate and increase impulsive behavior. Prescription stimulants help to reduce these symptoms. However, many people use these drugs for non-medical purposes and without a prescription, especially college students who buy them from a friend with a prescription. The use of drugs like Adderall and other so-called study drugs has skyrocketed over the past two decades. One reason is that the FDA approved a version of the drug, Adderall XR, which lasts much longer than other prescription stimulants. Another reason is that more young Americans are diagnosed with ADHD, and this results in more prescriptions. In fact, over the past decade, the manufacturing of prescription stimulants has increased by a whopping 9,000,000%. What? Let me read that again. Over the past decade, the manufacturing of prescription stimulants has increased by a whopping 9,000,000%? When was this article from? I don't know. Many of these pills are used to treat... How many of these are used to treat ADHD? I wouldn't even be messing up everything if I was just popping pills. I need pills, man. I would be doing at least a few radio shows a day. A study of more than 10,000 college students from across the country found that more than half of students with an Adderall or other ADHD drug prescription were asked to sell the medication to peers and friends. Almost every student who abuses these drugs in college gets the drug from a friend or classmate with ADHD. One study of students at Bates College, a small Maine liberal arts college, found that one in every three students had abused Adderall at some point. I used to play against Bates. In contrast, a national study of 10,000 students found that approximately 77% had abused study drugs. People who abuse Adderall and similar drugs tend to have several characteristics in common. For example, a disproportionate number are white, in college, and belong to a fraternity or sorority. Because these drugs are commonly used to help students focus on reading or studying, abusers tend to have grade point averages of a B or lower. So they need a little help, a little boost. It's an equalizer. And this theme was present in the documentary as well. There was a girl talking about how it's okay if somebody who really needs these drugs is using them to help get an edge or to boost themselves up. But when the privileged kids are using these too, that's just unfair. Isn't that interesting? Causes and common justifications. Not surprisingly, around three-quarters of prescription stimulant abusers use the drug for academic purposes to help them stay awake, focus, and study before a big exam. However, ADHD medications do not make students smarter. It may help them focus and stay awake, but abusers should not expect the drugs to help with more complex learning, such as writing better papers or studying for college-level exams. Prescription stimulant abuse may also occur for social reasons, because students want to stay up later than they would have otherwise. Some students claim that taking Adderall makes them more talkative and better company. Additionally, about a third of students have taken them to get high or experiment. Most of those taking the drug for this reason are men. These experimenters usually only use the drug to get a high a few times, whereas regular users tend to use stimulants for academic purposes. Approximately 1 in 5 women who take the drug do so to lose weight. Because Adderall and other stimulants reduce appetite, some abusers see it as a means to simultaneously study and stay in shape. However, taking these drugs to reduce appetite is unhealthy for a number of reasons, especially because the body does not get the nutrients that it needs. Okay. So, this is, it's kind of like biohacking. Study drugs. And there are a lot of nootropics now. And I haven't looked into them enough. You know, Brain Force and all the other ones. To really say whether or not they are effective. But people are trying to get peak performance. And this is kind of right in line with that. To be able to be highly competitive in our dog-eat-dog world. So you'll find a huge amount of stimulant abuse. Not just cocaine. You know, the prescription stimulant abuse on Wall Street. Where people are expected to stay up to ridiculous hours. Miss sleep. And, you know, put in over a 100-hour work week. Just to make some people really, really rich. And they get a little cut themselves. So, there are some issues. Some effects. They're not side effects. All you have with any drug you take are effects. Some are the ones you want. And some of the ones that you like. And the so-called side effects are the ones that you don't. And most of these drugs have side effects, negative effects, that really outweigh the positive ones. Just ridiculous when you hear all of the things that could happen when you take the drugs that are advertised on TV. And how absurd is it that drugs, pharmaceuticals, are advertised on TV? So you go ask your doctor about it. Hey, doc, I think I got this or that. Could you help me out by prescribing me, you know, the drug I just saw on TV? That little cartoon looks so happy. And the butterflies that were flying away as that person was sleeping. It's just great. So one of the things that you likely would need if you're getting prescribed stimulants, something to help you get to sleep too. You're taking all these stimulants all day, and you might start to get some insomnia. So it's a very vicious cycle where you're using medications, drugs to get you up and then to bring you down too. You got your uppers and your downers. So some of the big problems, of course, the sleep problems, the decreased appetite, that is a problem. Delayed growth, that's been mentioned. Headaches and stomach aches. There's rebound, which is when people are very irritable when the medications wear off. Tics can develop. Just overall moodiness and irritability. And just the big crash in general. The crash that happens when you don't have the stimulants. But honestly, the side effects with these, They're more subtle than, and long term, I'd say, than a lot of other drugs. So parents see the results that their child's actually able to get more stuff done. They're listening more, and they're pleased as pie to have their children on these. So they yell at them to take their pills. It's like that Simpsons episode from, I think, even my childhood. I've been around for so long, with Bart taking Focusin. Like Ritalin, Focusin. It's a wonder drug. Really, the documentary made it seem like a damn wonder drug, too. Although it was pretending to be critical of the overprescription of all of these drugs. So let me look at a little some more statistics here from the CDC. Okay, this is what I found interesting. Nope. Lost my spot. Okay. Yeah, this is what I found really interesting. It's how they go right to the medication. Okay, actually, with the really young ones, they don't go right to the medication. They try some behavioral therapy. So let's get into this. 2016 parent report found this. So the percentage of all children 2 to 17 years of age in the U.S. taking ADHD medication was 5.2%. That's 1 out of 20 children. 2 to 17. 1 out of 20 taking ADHD medication. That's a lot. Among children with ADHD, 62% were taking ADHD medication. That's almost two-thirds of all children with the diagnosis are taking the medication. Ages 2 to 5, it's 18% of them. Ages 6 to 11, it's 69%. And ages 12 to 17, it's 62%. The percent of children 2 to 17 years of age with ADHD who received behavioral treatment was 47%. So 62% were given ADHD medication. Only 47% received behavioral treatment. Ages 2 to 5, 60%. So they're much more likely to try behavioral treatment with 2 to 5. Ages 6 to 11 drops to 51%. About half of them, they try behavioral treatment. And ages 12 to 17, it's 42%. Among children 2 to 17 years of age with current ADHD, about 77% were receiving treatment. Of these children, about 30% were treated with medication alone. About 15% received behavioral treatment alone. So if they get behavioral treatment, it's usually in conjunction with the medication. About 32% of children with ADHD received both medication treatment and behavioral treatment. About 23% of children with ADHD were receiving neither medication treatment nor behavioral treatment. They want to go right to the drugs. It's interesting when you look at the different statistics regarding the use of stimulants with children. It really is. You start to see some interesting patterns emerging. Honestly, it's just so crazy to me. We live in this society where so many children are given stimulants. What is going on? From Psychology Today. This will be the last article I go through. I think kind of hammered home the points I want to hammer home. ADHD is now widely overdiagnosed and for multiple reasons. A 2017 meta study spotlights the problem of overdiagnosis. There are now clear signs that children and adolescents are widely overdiagnosed, according to the authors of a large meta study published earlier this year. The researchers, whose comprehensive results appear in Child and Adolescent Psychiatry and Mental Health, raise concern about the number of ADHD diagnoses across developed countries, and in the U.S. in particular. Among the driving factors, the author points to very low levels of agreement among diagnosticians, inter-rater reliability, that is, ambiguously worded diagnostic criteria, excessive reliance on heuristics, a methodology involving educated guesswork and stereotyping, the halo effect involving carryover information from related but different diagnoses, and that just 1 in 4 pediatricians report relying on DSM criteria. Other factors seen as responsible and requiring greater caution include a well-established pattern of overdiagnosing ADHD in boys, based on a tendency among evaluators to overrate male externalizing behavior, and the relative age effect where children born close to kindergarten or school cutoff dates are, one of the studies cited found, 30 to 60% more likely to be diagnosed with ADHD. They're also likely to receive psychostimulants, such as Ritalin, twice as often as children born only a few days later, but after the cutoff date. Interesting. Significantly, the relative age effect was shown to drive overdiagnosis, not just in the U.S., but also in Canada, Sweden, Iceland, and the U.K. Extrapolated to the U.S. population as a whole, the consequences are stark. Approximately 1.1 million children received an inappropriate diagnosis of ADHD, and over 800,000 received stimulant medication due only to relative immaturity. We went through this all in a previous article I read. After systemic systematic literature search using Medline, PsycInfo, PubMed, and Web of Science, tied on a sequence of relevant keywords, the authors, a bunch of people, found significant evidence of overdiagnosis of ADHD in the U.S. and other developed countries, with notable signs that diagnosticians are prone to making mistakes in the decision-making process, resulting in both miss and overdiagnosis. One study bearing out these findings sent case vignettes describing a child fulfilling or not fulfilling diagnostic criteria for ADHD to 473 child and adolescent psychotherapists and asked them to indicate which diagnosis they would assign. Overall, 16.7% of psychotherapists diagnosed ADHD, although diagnostic criteria were not fulfilled. In addition, only 7% gave no diagnosis. Although the altered case vignette did in fact fulfill the criteria for ADHD, at least according to the DSM. As a result, there were significantly more false positive than false negative diagnoses. The same study found that ADHD was diagnosed 2 times more often in the boy version of the case vignettes, reflecting a common finding in ADHD research that boys and male teens are far more likely than their female counterparts to receive a diagnosis. Here, too, there's a difference between clinical data, with male-to-female ratios between 5 to 1 and 9 to 1, and epidemiological data, with ratios approximately 3 to 1. Another study, whose findings are extrapolated, determined that only a quarter of pediatricians report relying on DSM criteria, while 88% of the 457 patients screened, including, importantly, those who did not meet the criteria for ADHD, were treated with methylphenidate, Ritalin, an outcome pointing to clear signs of overprescribing. Not least with prevalence rates running at roughly 1 in 5 among school children. The diagnostic criteria of ADHD also contain risks, the author of the study indicated, since they lack an exclusion criterion due to medical conditions, such as sleep apnea, which can resemble ADHD. Besides such evidence for low validity of diagnostic criteria, at least in the case of ADHD, they add, it is evident that diagnostic criteria are not reliable enough, as even trained clinicians interpret same symptoms differently. That may be because the criteria listed in the DSM, when pediatricians do consult it, include behavioral characterizations as open-ended and overlapping as failing to finish things, has difficulty sticking to tasks, and shifts excessively from one activity to another. Finally, and no less significant, the researchers involved in the meta-study bring welcome attention to the problem of intentional overdiagnosis due to health policy constraints. This is especially acute in the U.S., where in many healthcare systems, a diagnosis is required in order to access and reimburse treatment. In such scenarios, which the studies in question suggest may be widespread, intentional wrong coding in diagnosing mental disorders does occur in child and adolescent mental health services and can partly account for the overdiagnosis found in studies reevaluating earlier diagnoses. All right. I'm going to leave it there. There's still a bit left of that. It was really interesting hearing some of the parents talk in this documentary that we watched recently, Take Your Pills, because I heard one of these parents say when their child went to some new school, they were talking to the teacher, and the teacher said, well, your child's on Ritalin or Adderall or whatever, right? The parent said, no. The teacher said, yeah, well, all these children are. The parent said, well, not mine. The teacher said, well, Have you looked into it? Maybe you should be. And it's just amazing how effective this is. The group conformity. It's just like with the vaccines. Oh, well, if everybody's doing it, it can't be wrong. Well, if everybody's jumping off a bridge, Mom, would you? No, that's different, though. That's different. Ritalin's safe. It's approved. Just take your pills. And, of course, some of these parents start getting on the pills, too. Oh, they're wonder drugs. Stimulants. there are other ways to stimulate the mind and the body. We don't need to be turning to pharmaceuticals for the solution. Just think of the long-term effects that this could be having on these children who are being medicated from the time that they're a toddler all the way up through school and into their work life. The medication seems to make us fit into this Zog prison system just a little bit better. It helps to tone down some of the rebelliousness that is found in youth, especially in the young men who have a lot of energy. And I just wish that all of this energy could be used towards fruitful endeavors rather than being harnessed in with the use of drugs to have them just doing pointless, meaningless tasks. And it's even worse than meaningless because what they're doing in school is learning the wrong things the wrong way, learning the victor's history, especially regarding things like World War II, and really not learning anything that will be of real value to them. But hey, it could help land them a job. Really, these medications, these stimulants, are good for helping somebody do tasks that they don't want to do. It makes your slaves just a little bit more effective. It's something that, had it been available, I'd say a plantation owner would have wanted to give to his slaves to make them better workers. Their long-term health and happiness be damned. Hey, they look pretty happy using it out there. And they've increased their productivity 1.2 times over. So, there's always that. Oh, they're doing much better. It's great. We've cured their condition. Their ODD, with oppositional defiance disorder. I'm sure that seems to go along with ADHD as well. Well, guys, we have run out of time here tonight. Hope you got something out of this show here about the overprescription, ridiculous overprescription of stimulants, especially with children, and now more and more with young adults and older adults as well. Come from the land of the I want to thank all the supporters. I want to encourage people to stay tuned to the network as we have much more to come. I'll be back with you again all soon. Take care, everyone. The hammer of the gun will drive our ship to new land. Fight the war, singing and crying, Valhalla.
Many websites focus on just one or two topics over and over again. It can get tiresome, and visitors can often miss the forest for the trees. At Renegade Tribune, we offer a wide variety of content for you every single day. You can find important topics from the past and present, podcasts, videos, recipes, art galleries, mythology, and so much more. You'll want to visit RenegadeTribune.com every day, and please do consider signing up and submitting a post of your own. We need all hands on deck in this struggle for our survival.